you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. It's Memories of an African Son Tuesday. So
thank
we'll be
you.
Doing a reading in just a moment. In fact, I'm open to chapter 56 titled Going Back.
Yeah.
So we'll read that in a minute or two. That's going to be a good chapter. I'm looking forward to sharing it with our Great News Radio listeners as I'll share our memory verse from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Were you tuned in for Memorization Monday? We had Dr. Ken Cuffey of the Urbana Seminary here, and it was fun to have him divide God's Word and give us an update about the seminary
yeah.
and all the things going on, everything from classes that are happening in June. I think they have five different offerings that you can take, and you don't have to take them for, like, credit hours. You can
yeah.
be somebody that, hey, I don't want to do all those tests and feel the pressure,
right.
but I still want to learn,
That's
and you can do that.
That's the sort of thing I wanted to tell my freshman teacher. I don't want to do all the tests
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Just get me a passing
That's
grade,
right.
like I make it, and then I can
say
enjoy
she was
course.
Here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that
well,
was
yeah,
fun having Ken in.
They had one that sounded really interesting to me, the Sermon on the Mount and how it played out through history.
Oh, yeah.
How people spoke about it,
sure,
like Martin Luther King Jr., Bonhoeffer, even Gandhi. That's interesting.
Ooh, good memory.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah
well,
yeah.
it's just one day ago, so it's not
yeah,
too bad.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll see what next week brings if I can recount it.
And they're doing a special thing up in Chicago.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's called Ancient Israel in Chicago
that's
on June 8th, where people get up there so you can drive up with a friend or something. They don't have a bus load going up.
Oh, okay.
But you meet up at the Oriental Institute in Chicago, and they'll do a tour through these Old Testament relics and artifacts
yeah.
and such and well, give an overview on it and the biblical history behind it and have a lot of discussion.
I thought to go with them because I after he spoke or after you interviewed him, I looked that up. That's really interesting.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
like things there from Babylonia. It's just not just the Bible.
Right.
But this group will be focused on that. So
yeah.
it's a good group to go with.
Yeah, find out more at UrbanaTheologicalSeminary.org.
Mm-hmm.
UrbanaTheologicalSeminary.org. But Dr. Cuffey and Dr. Joe Thomas
yeah.
and there's a few others that I'm going to have coming in. Mike McQueen is
oh, good.
A part of that seminary and others.
Yeah,
they'll
yeah.
be future Memorization
Excellent.
Monday guests. But let's review, everyone. We started this yesterday. It's Deuteronomy 6:6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Words when God's speaking to Moses and the Ten Commandments have been given and some of the other laws and precepts and guidelines on the rituals and things they should do. And this is part of Deuteronomy. And, you know, there's all those laws in Leviticus and such, but primarily highlighting the Ten Commandments and the most important laws, and then certainly loving the Lord your God
mm-hmm.
with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep that front and center all week long as we read God's Word and memorize this one together. Deuteronomy 6:6 is one of the featured verses in 100 Bible verses
mm-hmm.
everyone should know by heart. So if you're just tuning in for the first time and you're like, what's Memorization Monday? Well, we began this, I guess, 13 weeks ago. Yeah,
wow.
This is our 13th verse.
Yeah.
And then prior to these 13 verses, we had maybe 2 months of preparatory
yeah,
chapters
yeah.
talking
Those were
about
good chapters.
Yeah, why it's important to memorize Scripture and have it on your heart and mind. And then we actually had an interview with the author, Robert J. Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And all these are archived at our website, greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org. So some good verses. In fact, next week, it's going to be Deuteronomy 6:7.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, it's Deuteronomy 6:6. But next week, Deuteronomy 6:7 goes along with this.
Mm-hmm.
Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So it's kind of a further clarification of what's it mean to put God's Word on our heart and know His Word and such.
If I remember right, this is the one you were on when we very first started this. Do you remember? You had been going ahead. You jumped right in.
Oh, yeah.
The second
yeah,
you got the
yeah,
book, you were
yeah.
like on it,
right,
you know.
Right.
And I remember you saying, I'm on Deuteronomy 6:6.
Yep, yeah. So
that was like months ago.
I keep still many times I'll do the first 30.
Is
like,
that right?
I'll sit in bed. There's still some really tough ones in about 4 or 5 weeks. That
oh,
first
no, don't,
John,
don't worry. sorry people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're hard just for me. For whatever reason, 1 John like 5:14, 1 John 5:15, 1 John 5:11, and 5:12. It's hard to remember, 1 John 5, and then the
it's
starts
they're
of
out
these
of order.
Verses. Yeah, and this one, well, anyways, you're all going to help me along when
you
we get up
it.
To there.
You can do it.
But I'm reading, I'm getting the verses down. It's just the citation.
Oh, that's always the hard part
reference.
For me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I can get the verse down. It's the But this book is helping.
Yeah.
It's helping me.
Yeah.
This
so
whole series
tune
is.
Tune in for Memorization Monday, and you'll learn more. And before we jump into another chapter in Memories of an African Son, I do want to point out Ivan Parker is coming. It's less than a month away, Saturday, June 8th. In fact, if you look at the June edition, which will be out in a couple of weeks,
yeah.
we have a little ad about Ivan Parker and his son Josh, along with the Singing Men of GNN. But if you haven't seen the Facebook post or stopped by our website lately, you'll see a posting about the conference, the times. There's a love offering, general open seating. But if you want the meet and greet, artist circle seating, reserve seating, so no matter what time you get there, you'll have insured one of the couple front rows.
That's nice.
That's $25, and you can get those by calling the station or going to the website, greatnewsradio.org, and right on the homepage, there's a little link, and then you can sign up for that.
And you get to kind of just hang out with him a little bit,
hang
too.
Hang out with
and
Ivan, have some treats, a back room we have all set up where you can talk with him, get a good photo opportunity. And
he's so quick to do that.
Yeah, and approachable. Yeah, he's a great guy, so you're going to enjoy that. A number of people have already signed up and paid for that.
Yeah.
So find out more at greatnewsradio.org, or you can call Karen and she can get you set up, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And lastly, be praying up the Singing Men of GNN, as we have a special opportunity to sing at Christ Church of Oak Brook. I think it seats 1,500 to 2,000 people. There'll be three other men's choirs joining us, and we'll have a special tribute concert. Let Freedom Sing, kind of a takeoff on Let Freedom Ring. We'll be singing Sunday afternoon, and we'll have a special workshop symposium where we'll get together with these other choirs and sing together and work on the song. So we'll have
it's going to sound magnificent.
Oh, yeah. It's 100 plus voices together. Everyone in their tuxedos.
Oh, my.
And the sanctuary is special. And that's the church that I grew up in.
Yeah.
I went from kindergarten through high school and then college group and then came down to Champaign-Urbana 30 years ago. A long time ago. Wow, I've been here a long time. I'm a veteran.
So everyone in their tuxedos. I always just think it's the Sinking Men that are in their tuxedos, not everybody else.
Yeah, I think these other groups, I'm pretty sure they all
have
tuxedos
great.
And presented all
that's
around
great.
The area and have met for a number of years. So that'll be this coming Sunday. So be praying us up. That's when we're actually singing at 3 o'clock at Christ Church of Oak Brook. Hey, do a carpool and come up and visit with us. I think tickets are $25, but you can find out more at our website, and certainly if you call up to Christ Church of Oak Brook. So
I have to ask you, you said 30 years. You said you're a veteran. So what are you a veteran of?
Oh, a veteran that I've been living here.
I'm living here.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Because
well,
so many people are here just because of the U of I,
it
three
is
or four years in and out, or they might be here 5 or 6 years. But you know, if you stay more than 8 or 9, you're like rooted into
you
the community.
You put some roots down.
Yeah. So. Yeah, nearing 30 years.
Well, wow. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, old-timer.
Oh.
Oh, well, I'm turning to page number 267. Wow, we only have 4 more chapters
to go here.
But this is called Going Back.
Okay. Chapter 56, Going Back. My parents decided when I was a teenager that I should live in America to attend high school and have braces put on my teeth. I lived with my brother Ron and his family. My brother Jim and his wife also lived nearby, so I was now situated with half of my family once again, but this time on the other side of the ocean.
And this brother Ron, many will be familiar with him. He's Pastor Ron, right?
Yeah, Ron Simpkins, here in town, if you're listening in the Champaign area anyway, Champaign-Urbana. It was a massive adjustment for me, as the last full year of American school I had attended was second grade.
Hmm.
My parents had returned to Ghana, and then, while I was still in America with my braces, they were asked to come back to Zimbabwe so my father could participate in the further establishment of the college there. So, early one summer, I, too, was flown back to Zimbabwe one last time to reunite with my parents. The crisis that would eventually overtake Zimbabwe was moving under the surface, day by day, simmering like the bubbles rising from a long cooking soup. A missionary from New Zealand who had been in Zimbabwe for years ran a second time for government office and raised a loud voice on behalf of redistribution of land and for human rights. He was put under house arrest by the White Rhodesian government. An immigrant from Scotland who had been mayor of a city also spoke out for African rights. Their voices did not prevail. I was given a formal letter from the governments of both America and Rhodesia to carry on my person at all times, allowing me to pass in case I was questioned in my travel. It scared me at times to be wandering around the world with my important entrance papers to the land where my parents were, a land now under growing duress.
And you're like 15 at the time?
I was 14.
With braces. Shiny braces.
They actually were off by that time. Oh, thank goodness. The college had finally moved from its many years on the mission station to what was then called Fort Victoria, now Mazvingo. So that's where my parents were living. Fort Victoria was the oldest colonial settlement in Zimbabwe and was indeed originally built as a fort to protect against the first uprisings of the indigenous people against colonial rule. Our old driver from the mission station was working on a road crew near Fort Victoria by then, and when he heard I had come back, he walked a number of miles just to see me and greet me. We had a nice evening with him. It was good to see him once again sitting at our kitchen table. The sister of one of the African women my mother knew from the mission station was also there, living in the township, and she, too, was often at our kitchen table, having tea with my mother. The missionaries in Fort Victoria had started a church both in the white town and in the African township. They not only helped start the township church, they began holding highly sought-after classes there during the week, training people so they could find meaningful employment. I recall seeing the lines of sewing machines bought with mission money on long wooden tables and the women of the township learning to use them. These classes were an important effort that was a well-regarded endeavor on their part. There were so many wonderful people living in the African township, and there were wonderful European families living in the white town. Sometimes in life, as was the case with many of the missionaries in Fort Victoria back then, we find ourselves in a political or governmental system that we inherently disagree with, but do not have the numbers yet to peacefully combat or change. At that point, as many people around the world are having to do at this very moment, what is left is to take all the steps we can think of to work toward and encourage the progress of what we know is right. From Fort Victoria, our college moved to Salisbury, now Harare. As the mission was able to buy an old British hotel that had been vacated. So there we were, a bit lost among the remains of what had once been a remarkably swank estate, now somewhat run down in places, but with a magnificent kitchen and staff, and huge fireplaces and large grounds. It was a sprawling, one-level, white stone affair, with green grass and numerous gardens, the entire thing in various states of repair and disrepair. Some of the kitchen staff stayed on to work for the school, which was good, as the food was wonderful. Slowly, we turned the rooms into classrooms, and the hotel became a college. It was a magnificent summer in some ways, and not in others. I got to experience life in a town and city in Rhodesia, even if only briefly, something so different from my years in the bush. I got to live in a city neighborhood in Zimbabwe, even for just months, and walk downtown to the main street with its wide and beautiful jacaranda-lined road. I was also able to see firsthand how the African people in the townships, also known as locations, were having to deal with the hardship of being an underclass. Without rights in countless ways. It was wrong, so very wrong, and no words or theories could make it right. Things simply needed to change. We took one trip, that always long trip, back out to the mission station. Even by that summer, it had changed. It was more built up, and there were small signs of more modern civilization here and there, better for them. And I was glad, but a loss to me, to know I could never see it again the way it once was. Only a handful of people would now remember it the way it once had been. Even now, just the names of each of those remote mission stations out in the bush country where our missionaries lived, those names still bring a pang of wistfulness to me and a smile of happiness to my face. Hmm. The unrest that would devastate Zimbabwe was growing. By the time the war was over, the old mission station would be partially overrun. The mission doctor who had originally overseen the building of the hospital had returned to try to save it and was the last of the missionaries to leave the station. He had a serious altercation with a young Rhodesian officer over the beating of one of our most beloved African teachers. Confusion ensued, and he was informed that he had been targeted. He was told that an elite military unit had targeted him and was coming for him, as he was considered to be a person harboring terrorists. Later, there was information that actually quite the opposite had been true, and that the terrorists were the ones attempting to find and kill him, because they thought he must be siding with the government. It was a highly charged and dangerous situation. At one point, rebel soldiers came inside the halls of the hospital, and gunfire was heard. The doctor waited until nightfall, then he climbed the koppie at the far end of our station, the one behind the house we had lived in, and made his way through the bush in the dark to his small plane, sitting on the mission landing strip. He took off in the darkness, flying as low to the ground as possible, all the way to the relative safety of Chiredze.
Hey, this word, K-O-P-J-E.
Yeah, it's a Dutch word. I had explained it earlier in the book, and I should appear again. It's a huge rock, granite rock mountain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so he climbs. So kind of climbing.
He climbed up this rock hill.
Okay.
And then off to the old landing strip. So many people were killed across the country. So much horrifying destruction wrought. It was distressing beyond measure to read the letters that we received from African friends for many years. The news that made its way out of the chaos and the pain. We knew these people. We loved them. The magnificent people of Zimbabwe. Volumes have been written about the Rhodesian Bush War. Highly trained guerrilla fighters came across the north and the east borders. Many tribesmen who refused to harbor them were brutally hacked to death with machetes, and the young men kidnapped. Other tribesmen gladly welcomed them. The white community splintered in places due to conflicting ideas regarding the situation. Among others in that European community, there was a unified approach. A greatly respected and loved chief on the Maasai Reserve was murdered by the guerrillas. They also killed one of the African preachers from another of our remote mission stations. Many Africans in the bush country were atrociously tortured and butchered to death. Their cattle also tortured and slaughtered. A number of European ranchers and farmers, along with their families, were ruthlessly massacred. There were not just two sides in the conflict, clearly drawn. So many people had competing loyalties, ideas at odds with one another on how to stop the violence or even how to think about it. In the end, as is true in most wars, people of all persuasions finally hunkered down to try to save their own homes, crops, livestock, and above all else, their children. War is deadly, and I am no expert on it. I've come to a place in life where I believe that wherever we live, it is of vital importance to do all we can to ensure that everyone is treated with integrity, justice, fairness, and equality on all counts. I don't see anything else working anywhere, and sometimes that's not even enough to hold the peace. One of the original mission station nurses bravely went back alone, just after the war, when things were very dangerous, to bring the hospital back and restart the nursing assistant program. Upon her return to the mission station, she found that the Zimbabweans, under duress, had done a remarkable job of keeping at least the critical parts of the hospital operational. She then set about, with the aid of a remarkable Zimbabwean woman still there, to put the nursing training program back on its feet so they could continue to operate it as well. Surely, one of the most naturally beautiful places on earth had entered the crucible. A trial by fire. It has not completely come out of that crucible. The blood, both past and present, now spilt on the soil of Zimbabwe, is overwhelming. It is heartbreaking beyond all words. There's a famous song in Zimbabwe, sung by many, that says it well. God bless Africa. Ishe Kombarara Africa. And words from another one, the new national anthem. And may the Almighty protect and bless our land. God put this nation, the important nation of Zimbabwe, finally, truly back on its feet. Bring freedom, wholeness, health, safety, and truth into the public sphere, and pour out your spirit upon the beautiful people of Zimbabwe. Grant them real peace. Give them a future that is filled with blessing. Please do a miracle and ease the burden of great sorrow that has been visited upon them.
What a sweet prayer, praying for those in Zimbabwe, praying for those around our neighborhoods, our own nation, and this world.
Peace, peace.
Going Back, Chapter 56, Memories of an African Son, by Marianne Simpkins. Well, thank you, Marianne.
Yeah.
Great chapter. Join us again next Wednesday for another chapter out of Memories of an African Son. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day. Day and night.